This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. We've got a big show for you tonight. Thanks to Christian and the Vixen Hour for that great show. And it's International Sex Workers' Rights Day today, so happy International Sex Workers' Rights Day to any sex workers out there that are listening to us. And our big show tonight, we've got the very, very glamorous Barbara Quicksand in the studio, who is going to talk to us about the politics of drag and drag culture and all sorts of things like that. We're going to prod and poke her for whatever it is that we can get out of her. And anybody that's been around the clubs in Melbourne over the past 10 years will have known Barbara and seen Barbara. She is the larger-than-life drag queen in Melbourne, in my opinion.
Oh, thank you, Jim.
Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you, Jim. I'll be honest, I'm not feeling very glamorous tonight.
Oh, well, you're looking as glamorous as ever.
Well, in my thongs and shorts and...
The great thing about radio.
It's like television, you can't see under the desk.
Yeah, exactly.
And we've got here in the studio tonight, Kurt on the panel. Hello, Kurt. Oh, you can't hear us. And we've got James. Hello, James.
Hello.
And we've got filling in for everybody else on the panel, because Pat's sick and Steph is away roaming around North Queensland with her girlfriend, I think. We've got Sonia from Sci-Fi and Scream. Hello, Sonia.
Hello. Greetings, Earthlings.
And after we've had a talk to Barbara, we're going to have Jamie Gardner, who's the Vice President of Liberty Victoria and a long-term legal rights activist in the gay community, in to talk to us about some things legal and gay rights. So that should be quite an interesting show. And we've got some good music on tonight. Well, we've got some okay music on tonight and some really good music in between all of that. But I think we'll get on with, first of all, asking Barbara, how has drag culture changed over the time that you've been around the Melbourne drag scene?
It's changed a bit, but I think the individuals have changed it as well. What area are you thinking of, Jim?
Well, I mean, I remember when I first moved to Melbourne in the early 90s, you know, the big people on the drag scene, apart from you and Miss Candy and Dulcie du Jour, was Stella.
Oh,
Stella, yeah. Constellation, yes. Who lived next door to me, I have to say. And my 16-year-old daughter used to go op shopping with her all the time. They'd come home with bags and bags of clothes, which they'd parade around my lounge room in. They don't do that anymore, fortunately.
Yes, unfortunately, we don't see Stella around as much as...
No, Stella, we're waiting for Stella's 60th birthday, I think, before Stella's going to make a reappearance.
Yeah, Stella's gone corporate on us.
She has gone corporate. Has drag in that time, do you think, become more respectful of women? Or is it a parody of women?
I wouldn't call it a parody of women. I suppose for me... each individual performer's got their own take on drag. You know, there's as many reasons why people do drag as there are drag performers or drag queens. And, you know, I forget who said it once, but I think it was someone connected with the whole Warhol gang said that drag was more about a parody of a movie star than women. You know, I don't think... A lot of women actually look at drag queens and think, "Oh my God, that's me," you know.
Because I remember people used to draw a distinction between Danny LaRue, who was a female impersonator, and Barry Humphries, who's a female impersonator, and drag queens. Is there a difference?
A queen is a gay man, and so Barry Humphries isn't a drag queen as such, no, because he identifies as a heterosexual man. So, no, he's not a drag queen. He's a female impersonator. Danny LaRue, is he a drag queen? To use a generic term, maybe, because he's a gay man. But, you know, he's elevated his craft beyond just your regular pub drag show. So I think it would be, and that's nothing against pub drag shows. I'm a pub drag queen, you know, performer. So, but he's taken it above and beyond, you know, in his time. And it has changed. If anything, the scale of shows has come down. It used to be about movie stars and all that, but now it's very much about pop stars. And
but you don't ever see the Paul Capsises or Hugh, what was his name from Sydney, the fabulous musical theatre singer who used to do drag a lot. And they, like Paul Capsises, he sang.
Reg Livermore?
No, not Reg. His name was Hugh Johnson or Hugh...
Hugh Jackman?
No, it wasn't Hugh Jackman. You know, everybody dreams about
but Paul,
that.
Well, Paul's an interesting character because he took great pains not to ever be seen to be doing drag, you know. But I felt...
He always called himself a channeler, didn't he?
Yeah, and but I felt maybe that he, you know, he could have embraced it more and not... cared less about what people thought of his act and how they want to label it, because no one was ever going to call Paul Capsises as just a drag queen, not with his voice, not with his talent, you know. And so I felt that Paul, you know, he'll probably kill me for saying this, but I think that held him back in a way in regards to his work, because he couldn't fully embrace what the drag medium had to offer him for his shows.
But he's now been embraced by the mainstream, of course.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, he's an exceptional talent, yes.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
You're with James, Kurt, Steph and Pat on Is Nothing Sacred? Joy 94.9.
Yes, Joyce, it's 12 minutes past 10. You're on Is Nothing Sacred. This is Jim and I'm here with James, Kurt and Sonia. And we've got Barbara Quicksand in the studio with us. And we were just talking about the politics of drag and whether drag is a parody of women and so on. And Sonia, I think you've got a couple of questions you wanted to ask.
Yes, well, I just want to ask Barbara, of course, because perhaps for some people, drag, men doing drag as women characters, it's a sort of a safe platform to be politically incorrect. What do you think?
Yes, they are being politically correct, and that's probably why I love drag, is that I despise political correctness. I think it's a dreadful barrier to... genuine discussion, and I think it's really easy for minority groups actually to hide behind political correctness so that they're not as accountable. Mm. And is drag a good platform to be politically correct? Yes, because it is. But is it a good platform for politics? Not necessarily so.
I mean, politically incorrect, like using the persona and the character of a female. I mean, females have been a minority for centuries and treated as such, unequal and so on. But to use a woman as a character to be able to get away with political incorrectness, I guess that's what I meant.
Well, I suppose I would argue that drag has a really long history in theatre, and it stems way back beyond the contemporary form that we know drag. And mm-hmm. So there's a history of drag in our culture, and that I just don't see it. I mean, other people might do it, but I don't, you know, to parody women or whatever, but I just don't think that's the case.
Barbara, have you ever been political in your stage show?
I've tried to actually infuse as much as possible my political beliefs or you know, thoughts on different issues that which tend to differ a lot from the mainstream gay thought, I think.
Well, you and I first met over a political campaign, I remember.
Well, yes, we were on opposite sides of the table.
We were at that stage.
And I thought I'd been asked in for, you know, for the gay ALP daddies to apologise to me. But anyway, we won't go there. But, you know, it's I've tried to introduce those ideas and those thoughts or whatever, but without alienating the audience, you know. But it's a fine line because, you know, I've, you know, I support a number of issues that aren't met with widespread approval. You know, the recent, you know, hoo-ha about Putin and stuff. You know, I look at that and I think, well, it's just not a black and white situation. You've got people going, oh, boo-hoo Putin, you know, jailed pussy, right, boo-hoo Putin, you know, gay rights in Russia. But then I look at Putin, I see a man who did more to avert a World War concerning Syria than Obama did. And Obama won a Nobel Peace Prize, but for what? You know, I can't think
for
what...
For being elected.
Well, exactly. You know, he was hand... And so, for me, I kind of think, well, no, it's not black and white. You can't go, yay, Obama, boo, Putin. Because, you know, who's wanting to go to war with Russia now? It's Obama and his crew. So, you know, you've got John Kerry saying things like, oh, you just can't march across a country's borders with aggressive intent. I mean, really, I've got one word to say, Iraq. You know, people have a very short memory. And so you have to look at the broader picture, and I think sometimes...
I think you're being generous. It's not just Iraq, it's Grenada Kuwait.
Is it. If I was to list the number of US military interventions, I'd be here all night. But, and I think sometimes that... You know, like in terms of politics and being gay or whatever, I think we're in a very privileged position in Australia. But I find sometimes we have a very parochial or very local outlook.
So, Barbara, what can I just go back to what you were saying before about the gay community and the you know, as us as a, if you will, in a minority group? Mm. What do you think can hold us back with being too politically correct or unpolitically correct?
But by being too politically correct, we become very defensive. And so if someone was to make a constructive criticism, I mean, we have, say, like much higher rates of alcohol and drug abuse and things like that. But if anyone was to make a constructive critical complaint about, or not complaint, but comment about that, all of a sudden we're labelling people homophobic or blah, 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 phobic, you know. And so it actually really...
avoids
a productive and constructive dialogue about those issues. You know, like things like crystal meth are just completely ravaging the gay community or the gay scene at the moment. And you've got the Gay Men's Health Centre. And I don't know what has the Gay Men's Health Centre come out and said about meth. I don't think an awful lot, you know. You've got the... You know, so there's issues like that. So if you were to speak up and talk about how meth was absolutely ravaging the scene, then you go, oh, you're picking on the gays, you're picking on the gays, you know.
But, of course, drag queens can talk about that from an advantage of being up there looking down on it, can't they?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, I suppose I'm not working at the moment, so I don't have that opportunity to talk about that. But it's also, you know, the gay group think is that drugs are okay, excessive alcohol is okay. And so if you were to speak out against stuff like that, then all of a sudden you're labelled as square, you're out of sync with the gay community. Hey, it's okay, we're rebels, we're gay.
You can say what you like on this show, because we've actually had a big discussion on here about the lockout issue, and we were completely divided on it. Some of us thought it was a good idea, some of us thought it wasn't a good idea.
Well, personally, I think it's stupid that, you know, at say 3 p.m. or 5 p.m. bang, that's it, and what you've got, all these drunk people pouring out onto the streets.
Well, in fact, I saw the results of the Sydney lockout tonight, and it was that at 1:30 people couldn't get into anything, and people started going home or standing around on the streets, talking to the street performers, because there are lots of buskers out.
Yes,
and that there was no arrests at all in Sydney on Saturday night, and they.
Well, I'm surprised, because I would have thought there'd be a lot of disgruntled people who'd had a few drinks, want to go to another club, and, you know, were a bit antsy about that. So I think
the drug dealers were probably doing a good deal.
Yeah.
It could be early days for that.
Maybe. Yeah.
You know.
It worked in Newcastle, so...
Because what it does is affects a lot of industry too, and casual workforce get affected.
That's what the tobacco companies used to say too.
What?
Oh, it affects our industry. Banning tobacco and things like
no,
that.
No, but I'm thinking of bands and people like that who rely upon places being open so people can punters can come along and see them perform.
Still a lot of debate to be had around that issue.
You can find more Joycasts and show blocks. Go to joy.org.au.
Yes, Joysters, you are on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. It's 26 minutes past 10 now. And you're also listening to us in Sydney on Sydney Observer Digital, your sex, sexuality and gender diverse station there, which is being powered by 2SER Sydney on 107.3 FM. And welcome, Sydney Siders, if you've got over Mardi Gras party. I assume you have now. It is Monday night, after all. It must be almost down by now. And we've got in the studio with us now Jamie Gardner, who people in Victoria will know. But for people who are listening in Sydney, and for those Victorians that don't know, Jamie is one of the vice presidents of the Victorian Council of Civil Liberties, or president of vice president of Liberty Victoria, is called, I think, its proper term, isn't it?
Both.
Welcome, Jamie. And Jamie has been a long-time activist in gay legal rights in Victoria. We're going to talk to him about where we're up to with gay legal rights, and also whether or not there are threats to gay people in some of the recent legislative changes that have occurred in Victoria. For instance, the Move On Act, or the threats to dismantle the Charter of Human Rights. Jamie, have you got any big warnings for us?
Well, of course, there's, as the slogan goes, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. And you're right, there are a variety of risks ahead. We have an election at the end of the year. And the Liberal government of Ted Baillieu and Dennis Napthine,
which is behind in the polls at the moment,
has been for a while, has at least some members of that government have been very hostile in the past to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and intersex human rights, and indeed very hostile to human rights in general.
But they have maintained the some of the committees that were set up under the previous government.
Well, not exactly, no. But Ted Baillieu intervened to prevent what was strongly feared to be a tax on the charter when it was went through its formal review, really right at the beginning of the current government 3 years ago. And there's been no move to damage the charter since then. And we would certainly hope that, given the large number of major organisations, including things like the Law Institute, sturdy conservative institutions who strongly support the charter, that the charter is probably not at any great risk in this current year. The issue of what was the other one you said?
The Move On Act.
Oh, well, the Silencing Act is being called. That is, of course, it hasn't happened yet. It's only been voted on in the lower house. But it is a pretty appalling piece of attack on free speech, freedom of expression, the right to protest, all of those things, and is, in our view, completely inconsistent with the Charter, contrary to what the Attorney General said in Parliament. These issues are sometimes matters of opinion, but if you stop and think about it, something that hands the decision over whether a protest is political to protective services officers and other scholarly human rights activists, not. Well, that's a pretty hopeless way to go, and it's pretty awful. But I'm sure there's more we can say about that. But it will greatly limit our human right to protest.
So, Jamie, I'm sure that it has the potential to affect many people coming into the future. So just a shout out to our listeners. If you do want to SMS us or phone in, you can SMS us on 0427JOY949 or phone us in on 1300JOY949.
Robert is on the desk.
Robert is on the desk, as always. He's been fantastic. Jamie, I just wanted to bring you back briefly to the charter that was set up under the previous government, state government. There was at the time, and I know it seems a long time away from that, but there was calls at the time that there were deficiencies in that act. So if we can, for a moment, dwell on those, you know, in this. Mm.
Well, the Charter Victoria is the first and the only state, but not the first jurisdiction because the ACT did it first. The Charter of Human Rights and Responsibilities, to give it its full name, is a very great victory, one would have to say, I and others in Liberty, and I was then on the Equal Opportunity Commission, now the Victorian Equal Opportunity Human Rights Commission, and a whole range of community groups, including the Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, worked very hard from about 2001 till 2005 to bring the Charter about. All legislation, all progressive legislation, involves some compromises, but one of the things that was written into the Charter was a four-year and an eight-year review, specifically with a view to mending some of the holes, the things that couldn't be got through the first time round.
And so does Liberty Victoria or the ALP have any views on how they want to extend that Charter?
Well, Liberty Victoria certainly does. The ALP is in the process of developing its platform, and I can certainly tell you without breach of confidence that I have some documents in the process which may or may not end up in the platform, which similar to Liberty's view, which is that the Charter needs to be extended. Now, the Charter covers mostly what are generally called civil and political rights, which are often seen as the in a way, the older rights, things like free speech, liberty, life, fair trial, those sorts of things.
Can people take it to the courts or not?
No. So that's one of the things.
So you can't clog up the courts with it, which was the big argument against it, wasn't it?
Well, it was a fallacious, specious argument against it. But yes, there's lots of specious things go on. You can use the Charter in court. It's just that you can't simply sue under the Charter. It doesn't work like that. But if you're in a criminal trial or a civil action, or taking action against improper decision making by government ministers or statutory bodies. Yes, if the Charter rights are involved, then you can use the Charter in dealing with legislation. It has been used and used successfully in a large number of cases. It's even more important in the in negotiation, because one of the things the Charter says, and before we go on to the expansion, one of the things the Charter says is that every public authority, which includes every public servant and every statutory body, has a positive duty to act compatibly with the Charter. And every public servant is subject to the Code of Conduct. And the Code of Conduct says that it is misconduct not to act compatibly with the Charter. So there are plenty of cases, both generally and in relation to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, gender issues, where reminding a public servant, a senior public servant, of the Code of Conduct and the fact that human rights must be taken into account and acted compatibly with actually changes the conversation. So it's very powerful.
Would it be a good idea to link the Charter to some of the principles-based legislation? I mean, I remember when I was Director of Public Health, we introduced the Victorian Public Health and Wellbeing Act, which includes five major principles, which have been extended into the Planning Act, I think, and the... And they include the precautionary principle, that is to act when there is possible harm being done to public health, and the primacy of prevention. So you act to prevent illness and disease. Could those things be extended?
Well, they certainly could. They certainly should. Whether that'll be done in the next round of legislation, who knows? But we can work on that. One of the problems to James's question is that it only covers, or mostly only covers, civil and political rights, though they're very important. Equality is a civil right and is covered.
But health is not seen as a right, is it?
Well, health is a human right, and health is a human right which Australia has signed up to, just like the civil rights, the right to the best available standard of health, the right to education, the right to fair work, fair value, the right to safe value with fair remuneration. These things are part of the international human rights framework that Australia is a party to, has promised the world to do. We couldn't get that into the Charter the first time round because, well, all the sorts of things that happen. The four-year and eight-year reviews specifically specified that the review should include the question of whether the Charter should be extended in these ways. It also includes things like specifically looking at the rights of the child and other of the major human rights instruments, the promises that Australia has made to the world by ratifying, signing up to and ratifying the major human rights treaties. So health, yes. Education, yes. These are things that should be covered, could be covered. The South African Constitution has perfectly happily included the right to health and the right to education and the right to housing in a stronger judicial instrument in the Constitution, and it works.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're with James, Kurt, Steph and Pat on Is Nothing Sacred? Joy 94.9.
Yes, Joysters, you are on Joy 94.9 and on Sydney Star Observer Digital, your sex, sexuality and gender diverse radio station in Sydney. Hello, all you Sydney-siders. And you're on Is Nothing Sacred? And I'm here, this is Jim, and I'm here with James, Sonia and Kurt. And Pat is at home on his sickbed. Hello, Pat. We have had your SMSs. And I'm glad to hear that you like the music and you must think you're here. And we've got Jamie Gardner in the studio with us. Jamie is one of four vice presidents of Liberty Victoria, and we've been talking about the Charter of Human Rights and so on. And Sonia, I believe that you've got a burning question.
Burning question. I'm not sure if it's burning. but yes, Jamie, I'd like to know about surrogacy laws, particularly for our community, for LGBTIQ, and how the Charter affects those surrogacy laws. You spoke earlier, of course, about the rights of children too, which is a concern.
Yes, well, there's several questions there, aren't there? Look, it is a burning question, but it's a slow burn, and it's probably difficult. There are two things around surrogacy. One is whether it's allowed here, and the answer is...
No, what's
the word? Commercial surrogacy is not allowed here.
Yes, yeah.
But I've just forgotten the word. But anyway...
Altruistic
surrogacy. Altruistic, there we go. Thank you. Altruistic surrogacy is allowed, but some of the circumstances around it make it effectively meaningless, and it's only for and it's not allowed for same-sex couples, basically, at the moment. I think that there's a real chance of working on that if there's a change of government, and probably less so if there's not a change of government. There's another issue entirely, which is what happens to the children who are born of a surrogacy arrangement wherever and are now living with their mums or with their dads in Victoria. Now, that is a children's rights question.
Yes.
And it goes along with the issues around adoption. Now, human rights of children are very important, and on the whole, very few people are prepared publicly to attack them, whatever they might do in private. And there's, I think, a real chance that we could see the adoption laws changed so that same-sex couples and single people can adopt without certainly adopt known children, children that are already part of their family, children who are already here and so on. I think there's a good chance that if we push, if we agitate, if Liberty and the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby and everyone else is pushing for that.
I mean, it does seem pretty stupid, doesn't it? In cases I know where I have friends whose surrogacy arrangements are through US surrogacy, where it is legal, and where one of the two men in the relationship is the biological father of four children, and the children are the children of them as a gay couple. They all live here. In good old liberal voting queue, and so they're in the situation where they would no doubt want to, the other partner would want to adopt those children formally,
yeah,
and become a parent.
And certainly that ought to be possible. I think the Charter helps to make that argument. The rights of it is bad for the children. They are being discriminated against because of a characteristic of their parents, which is specifically forbidden in the Convention on the Rights of the Child. So that is something where I think we have a real chance of persuading a future government, certainly a real chance of persuading a Labor government, to change the adoption laws so that any such family can give certainty and legal status to its children as the children of those two parents, regardless of their sexual orientation, their sex, their gender, all of those things, and regardless of how the child became a member of the family.
This whether sounds like a really good topic for another Is Nothing Sacred soon.
Well, we're certain. So I think so. The answer to your question is complicated. The charter will be useful. It's a real possibility. It's definitely on the agenda of people arguing for it within political parties at the moment. And so, yes, we've got some real possibility there.
Interesting times ahead.
Indeed, indeed.
Yes. Jamie, for someone like me who doesn't know a whole lot about Liberty Victoria, I think my main one was through conversations or meeting Brian Walters, who I think was formerly...
Brian Walters was a president yes. three presidents ago, I think.
Yeah, so... I guess for people out there who aren't sure practically, I mean, obviously you've spoken a lot about how you work behind the scenes in the committee stages and development of policy. Are there other things that you do that younger people could get involved in potentially?
Yes, indeed. Liberty is an old organisation. It traces its origins back to 1936 when the first Australian Council for Civil Liberties was set up here in Victoria. But there was a bit of a break in 1964 or so when some people died. And but Liberty
has
been going...
How inconsiderate of.
It happens, unfortunately. There was a period where of handover, but basically Liberty, Council for Civil Liberties, Liberty Victoria, has been actively defending and maintaining and extending civil liberties and human rights for a long time. It's a relatively small organisation. It is much more influential than the mere two or three or four, 500 people who constitute the members.
Does it seek there membership?
Seeks membership. Membership is absolutely open to anyone who subscribes to the
Is there a
the
website?
Cults. There is a website. It is remarkably libertyvictoria.org.au. And
easy.
There is...
We shall put that on our website, Joysters.
And there is, indeed, a fairly recent an initiative that we began last year called Young Liberty for Law Reform, which is doing some great work. The model has been to set up, I don't know where these words come from, but pods around particular issues.
Well, that's a Gen Y word.
That's a Gen Y word. Well, there you go. And yes, the people doing them are very definitely Gen Y and very energetic. And some of them, I think some of them are and some of them aren't law students. So we're talking, but yeah, they're certainly not all law students. And I think there are four pods at the moment. And they take on, they cover different areas. Like there's one that's interested in refugee issues. We're just going through a cycle of renewing the mandates. So there are, I don't know, it must be about 20 or so young people very active, doing the research, preparing position papers, feeding into Liberty's process. Liberty does do submissions and public speaking and commenting in the media. The president is Jane Dixon, and so she's the principal commenter in the media these days. I do a little bit from time to time when Jane's not around, and there are other vice presidents do too. And Liberty has in the past organised educational events, conferences, seminars, dinners with major speakers, and occasionally takes part in demonstrations, and of course is part of the has been involved in.
Are you the suit wearers at the demonstrations?
Some of us might be, I suppose. One of the things that Liberty used to do, hasn't done it so much recently, is send observers along. In the days when the police were much less civilised than they are becoming now, and Liberty would send observers, like Amnesty people going into difficult countries.
Mm. It reminds me of Star Trek a little bit, actually.
So there'd be witnesses to improper behaviour by the authorities. We haven't had to do that recently, although with this new, what some people are calling the Silencing Act, the move-on powers, a bill which we mentioned before and which is currently before the Parliament, comes back in next week or two to the Upper House, which is just scandalous. Expansion of powers that the police already have, but without the safeguards, and extending them to protective services officers, and basically a set of a sort of a trap to enable people, once they've been told to move on three times on three different occasions, they can be sent to prison under this, if this becomes law. Labor has promised to repeal it, has opposed it, and has promised to repeal it if it actually gets passed. And, of course, it's got through the lower house, so it will, because there's not going to be Libs crossing the floor against it in the upper house. So those are the sort of things. We're part of the groups along with
the Human Rights. Hope you'll be sitting in the gallery of the Legislative Council when the legislation is there to make sure that the Labor Party knows that people are watching.
Indeed.
You're on Is Nothing Sacred. We've been talking to Jamie Gardner tonight. And after us is In the Woods with the Bears. And I know that the Bears have got Vic Leather people in here to talk tonight. And we've had in the studio tonight Sonia from Sci-Fi and Scream. Thank you, Sonia.
Klaatu Nictu Barada.
And we've had James and Kurt on the panel.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You're on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. And we're about to wrap up, and I want to thank our guests for tonight, Barbara Quicksand, drag queen extraordinaire, and Jamie Gardner, who's a vice president of Liberty Victoria. And thank you, Sonia, for coming in from Sci-Fi and Scream to help us out.
Yeah, thanks, Sonia.
No worries.
And thank you, James. And we've had a big discussion tonight about the politics of drag and drag culture and lots of things about civil liberties, and we're going to go on with that discussion on civil liberties at some future date. We'll get people in to talk about surrogacy and the rights of children, I think. And that's a good thing. And don't forget, everybody, that it's Melbourne Queer Film Festival starts on the 13th of March. The tickets are booking out really fast. I've been on the website today, and there are lots of things that say on standby or booked out. So get in there and go and see. You can see a film with me in it, and you can see a film made by my
Tuesdays.
A film made by my daughter, who won awards at Sundance and Berlin.
And that one is selling out very fast.
And that is selling out very fast, and that'll be the film to see. So get on there. If you want the Queer Film Festival to survive and to be part of our ongoing queer culture in Melbourne, please go and book and get on.
Well, Jim, I think you were saying it's really not a big amount of tickets that they really need to bump up and get, so they'll be able to go to a much bigger format next year.
Well, they'll be able to stay at the format they are at now if they sell another 500 or 600 tickets.
And you get to see a tattooed Kylie.
Yeah.
And you do. You get to see Kylie kiss a girl.
Yay.
If you go to the right film. So thank you, everybody, for being on Joy 94.9 tonight. And after this is going to be Into the Woods with the Bears with Mark and his team, and they've got the Vic Leather people coming in. So
fantastic.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.